Good evening, everybody. Welcome. I see we have some visitors service, which is fantastic. Welcome to you guys. I'll just introduce myself. My name is Valhalem. I'm not the resident pastor here, but I do get every now and then But I do get a chance to share the word of God every now and then, which is a fantastic opportunity. Louise, if you can put my PowerPoint presentation. My sermon's title for tonight is Nomads of the Promise. But before we get there, let's just pray together. Let's give myself some space. All right. Yes, Father God, we thank you that we can come in this evening, Lord, this cold winter's evening, Father God, in Franschhoek, Lord, and that we can just come and lay down our lives, Father God, as a living sacrifice on your altar, Father. And we thank you, Father God, that our lives, Lord, are meaningless without your presence in it, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that our lives, Lord, our wealth, our knowledge, our wisdom, Father God, the things that we own, the things that we have, Father God, the things that we've achieved, Lord God, means absolutely nothing, Father God. It is meaningless, Father God, without the presence of God Almighty in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that tonight, Lord, we can come, Lord, and we can boast in the knowledge of the cross of Jesus Christ in our lives. We thank you, Father God, Lord, that it's by the blood of Jesus that we've been set free, Father God. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can walk, Father God, in liberty and freedom, Father God, and express, Father God, our heartfelt, Father God, and the warmth in our hearts, Father God, towards you. And that's why we come here tonight, Father God, not to receive, Lord, but to give of ourselves, Lord God, and to just again establish that relationship that we have with you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that our hearts can be open, Father God, in this night, Father God, just to share, Father God, and have fellowship and relationship with you through your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, that the words that I speak tonight, Father God, they are not my words, but they are your words in my mouth, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that I can lay down myself, Lord, as a sacrifice, Lord. It's not about me tonight, Father God. It's not about my words, but it's about your specific message, Father God, to your children and to your people, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come, Lord, and just worship you with freedom tonight, that we're not persecuted, but that we have the freedom just to come into this place and just sit around your word and hear what you have to say to us. So come and speak to us tonight, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. I'm going to be reading, the first scripture that I'm going to be reading to you tonight is Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16. You might know that Hebrews 11 is the big faith chapter in the Bible. It's the chapter that speaks of all the patriarchs, all the faith heroes, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, all those people, what they've achieved, what they did. And then somewhere in the middle of that chapter, between verses 13 and 16, there's almost like a bit of a passage of scripture that it feels like it doesn't belong there. And the reason why I say this is, if you follow what happens in that chapter, it's all of a sudden as if the author or the storyteller takes the whole message in another direction. And I was actually, what prompted me to bring this message, apart from God and the Holy Spirit, of course, was I was doing my quiet time and I was reading through this chapter because I was actually looking for something in particular. And this four verses just really stood out. And I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't understand why in the middle of such a powerful chapter in the Bible, it's a chapter that is referred to so often, especially when people speak about faith or whatever. You know, it's something that really, it just stood out. And I asked God, but Lord, why is this here? It doesn't make sense to me. So what I'm going to be doing tonight is I'm going to look at those four verses in particular and just try and break it down and see what God is really trying to say to us in those four particular verses. Because what happens is those four verses are put there for a very specific purpose and a very specific reason. And it's like the author takes a pause from telling the whole story about all these patriarchs, you know, and all the, you know, just the faith that they had in the things that they accomplished. And it's like he takes a pause to bring across some very important principles. So we're going to be looking at those principles tonight. So if, Louise, if you can put the scriptures on there, I'll be reading. This is from the Amplified Bible. Okay. So verse 13 reads as follows. These people all died controlled and sustained by their faith, but not having received the tangible fulfillment of God's promises, only having seen it and greeted it from a great distance by faith, and all the while acknowledging and confessing that they were strangers and temporary residents and exiles upon the earth. Some translations speaks of strangers and nomads, and that's where the title comes from. Next verse, Louise. Now these people who talk as they did show plainly that they are in search of a fatherland, their own country. If they have been thinking with homesick remembrance of that country from which they were immigrants, they would have found constant opportunity to return to it. And verse 16. But the truth is that they were yearning for and aspiring to a better and more desirable country, that is, a heavenly one. For that reason, God is not ashamed to be called their God, even to be surnamed their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, like I mentioned, the whole script or the whole passage, the whole chapter speaks of, you know, the patriarchs. And then you have this passage of scripture. So I want to quickly take you through and just show you what exactly happened there. Louise, is here going to confirm the first slide after the scriptures. So the first thing that the Bible tells us, that they did not receive the tangible fulfillment of the promises that God has given them. You know, just to give you a little bit of background, the Bible here is talking about the family of Abraham that did not receive, you know, they didn't go into the promised land that Abraham or that God promised Abraham for various reasons that I'm not going to go into. But the first thing is that they did not receive the tangible promise that God gave Abraham, but they saw it from a distance. And then the Bible says, you know, that they took hold of it, they were assured, and they embraced it. Now, think of yourself, promises that you've been given. You know, it's very hard for us to muster and to think, you know, if we've been given a promise by God, you know, when that promise doesn't come to fulfillment. I mean, just imagine the emotion that you're going to experience, you know, what you're going to feel. But the Bible says that these people, they saw the promise from a distance. They saw the promise, and even though they didn't receive it, they still embraced that promise. And the amazing thing is, I ask myself, what gave them, you know, what made that they could embrace that, you know, without having received the promise, that they could still embrace that. But I will come back to that particular point. Now, one point that I want to get stuck on is that they acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles and nomads in that particular place that they were at. And I think this is something that we really have to look at. You know, they were not pretending to be something or to be somebody. They really knew that they were in that particular place and that it was just, you know, a season. They were temporary, they were exiles, they were nomads on earth. And they acknowledged it and they confessed it with their mouths. You know, which is just an example of the faith and the attitude that they had in that particular moment and in that particular time. Because they were given the promise. However, they did not receive the promise, but they saw it. But they still continued to confess in their hearts because of the faith that they had. Moving on, then it says, people who say such things, there's the New Living Translation says, you know, obviously people that say things like this. And then the King James Translation says, they declared that they were seeking for a homeland. Now, that homeland speaks of that they had a deep longing in their hearts, you know, for something more. You know, that links to this, the last part of verse 13, you know, which says that they understood that where they were, you know, they were temporary. And they also knew that there was something more waiting for them. So do you see the link? You know, there was a deep hunger and a desire in their hearts for more. And that deep longing comes from an intimate relationship that they had with God. You know, and that's something that we that we have to understand when we're talking about a heavenly homeland, you know, when we're talking about the promise that God has given us. You know, we have to understand that the time that we spend on this earth, you know, and I may be getting ahead of myself, but, you know, the time that we spend on earth is just, you know, we are just passing through. And these people understood it. What I want you to know and what I want you to notice is that, you know, this is a physical story that took place, but there's such significance, you know, that you can take the principles right from the word and you can use it, you know, like a blueprint for your own life. You know, because these people had a promise. They knew that they were going somewhere. They were in a specific situation, but they knew that that was not where they were going to end. And a lot of us, we find ourselves in that position. You know, you find yourself in a position where there's a longing in your heart because God has given you a promise or many promises. You know, and you find yourself trapped between a rock and a hard place because you don't know, you know, will the promise come to fulfillment or will the promise not come to fulfillment? But these people, even having seen the promise but not receiving the promise, they still lived with a specific faith and with a specific attitude in their hearts. And that attitude and that faith only comes from intimacy. And that's why the intimacy that they had, you know, stirred up this longing for them to go to a homeland that God was preparing for them. Am I losing you? All right, good. Then in verse 15 it speaks about, but they could have gone back. And this is a point that I want to sort of just stop at. Because that's a lot of us, most of us in this room, we've been saved by grace through faith. God has changed our lives. We've turned 180, we've turned the page. And a lot of these people, you know, the circumstances that they faced, you know, that's what a nomad is. You know, it's somebody that travels from one place to another. Sometimes it's because of water, sometimes it's because of, you know, pastures for the cattle and for all of those, for the animals, you know. And sometimes we are like that as well. You know, you find yourself in a position now, in a new job, in a new company, working for somebody else, and you think, you know, I've got so much, but this and this and this aspect of where I was, you know, was so much better. And sometimes if you come from a very rough background, you know, if God has saved you from a very particular situation, you know, you do sometimes find yourself in a position where the devil's trying to sidetrack you and he says, but, you know, you remember those days? Actually, they weren't that bad. And these people, they were in exactly that same place. And that's why the Bible said they had more than enough opportunity if they wanted to go back. And we find ourselves exactly in that same position. You know, sometimes we long to go back to the places that we were, but we know in our hearts that it's actually not such a good place to go back to. Is anybody that's ever felt that way? By a show of hands, please. Okay, lots of holy people here tonight. Okay. But the Bible says that they were looking for a better place. So these people knew that there was something else going on. They knew, why did they know? Because of the intimate relationship that they had with God. They knew that there was something else out there. They knew that there was something waiting for them, you know, that was better than what they had. That was better than the situation that they found themselves in. And the word says they were looking, the Amplified Bible says they were aspiring and yearning. And again, that is an indication of the longing and the intimacy that they had with God. Because a longing and a yearning and an aspiring only comes from a deep-rooted source that is greater than yourself. And these people had an understanding of where God was wanting to take them, a better place, a heavenly country. And that's why the Bible says, because that was the way that they responded to the promise that God placed in their hearts. And because that was their response to God's promise, God responded. And we see in verse 16 that says, God was not ashamed. God was not ashamed of them. God was not ashamed because of their response to His call upon their hearts. And that's why right at the end of that scripture, it speaks that He prepared a heavenly homeland for them, a city that they aspire to. So that's basically taking you through those four verses, what happened. And I want to just emphasize one or two things, and I'm sure as we've just gone through that, that you can sort of put yourself in that story, you can put yourself in that scenario where God has given you certain promises, you come close, you see them, some of them fulfilled, and it's something that's difficult to understand, that God can give you promises and then sometimes you get so close but you actually don't grasp them. But the thing is that your attitude should not change towards God. If I promise Rian that I'm going to give him 1,000 rand or whatever, okay, no, that's a bad example. I'm not.
Yeah.
Now I'm just seeing if you guys are still awake. But you know, it's so important that if God gives you a promise, you know, our heart's attitude and our heart's desire should not be, you know, just to wanting to receive, you know. Because the promise that has been given is birthed out of a relationship that we have with God. And because you are in a relationship, there's a certain heartfelt attitude towards God. There's faith in that relationship. There's trust in that relationship. And that's what this scripture speaks of. You know, that's why the people could embrace the promise even though they didn't receive it. Because they had a certain attitude of the heart. They had a certain intimacy that they understood, you know, that... Because the promises that God gave them, you know, was there was a physical promise of inheriting the promised land and going to a place that was better than where they were. But there was also a promise of a heavenly homeland. And that's the same promise that God has given us. You know, God gives us lots of promises, you know, in the natural life that we live. But that's not the ultimate promise that God has given us. The ultimate promise that God has given us, His eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why when we walk this earth, we have to understand, and that's the title of the sermon, we are nomads of the promise. Nomads meaning that the time that we spend here, it's only temporary. You know, you can be as successful as you want. You can drive 10,000 brand new Mercedeses. You know, you can have so many successes in life. But that at the end of the day, if you don't grasp that there's a heavenly homeland that God is preparing for you, you're not going to inherit the ultimate promise. You're not going to inherit the ultimate promise. And that's what these people understood, that there was a place where God was taking them. And the only reason they could understand that because they were in intimate relationship with God. That's why the things that they experienced on earth, that's why it said that they were aspiring, yearning, for a better place. And that's where we should be. You know, there's nothing wrong with being successful. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, earthly successes. But that should not be the ultimate. That should not be the ultimate promise that you are looking for fulfillment. The ultimate promise is to have eternal life. And eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts on earth. Because once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when eternal life starts. Because what happens when you get saved? What happens when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there's a shift that happens in the spirit, but there's also a shift that happens in your heart. There comes a peace upon you that no matter the circumstances, no matter how badly the boss treats you at work, or how badly your business is doing, or your business is failing, or your finances is miserable, there's a certain peace in your heart that just, and that's just one example. You know, there's a certain peace in your heart that you know that, you know, circumstances does not determine the ultimate outcome of my life. And that's where we want to be. You must be eager like these people were, yearning and aspiring for eternal life to start now in your life. Not one day when you die, but now already. So that you can walk in victory, so that you can live a life of overcoming despite the circumstances in your life. I want to take you to the next scripture of Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. Are you all still with me?
Let me get my
Yellow Pages fingers going. I think for those of you that were in the sermon this morning, you know, it's just so powerful that we sometimes go through life and we just get so trapped in the circumstances. And that's, you know, that's what the devil tries to do. The devil really tries to steal your joy, steal your peace, you know, just remove you from that place that God wants us to live. You know, that comfort, that confidence that Yanni was talking about this morning. You know, and that's what happens if you give your life to Jesus. No matter what the circumstances, you go through them with a specific confidence because you know that it's not yourself. It was the testimony that Vipia brought this morning as well. Our friend Vipia, that's a professional golfer. You know, that when he put his trust in his own ability, he hit the ball a meter. But when he repented and said, God, I cannot hit this shot without your ability through me. And he hit the impossible shot. You know, and that's where God wants us to live. God wants you to hit that impossible shot. You know, despite the circumstances. Let's look at Colossians 3 verse 1 to 4. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. The Bible says here that we must set our sights on the realities of heaven. And it talks about, and I have promised a couple of times that I will speak on that particular topic of having an eternal perspective. But again, the Bible speaks of setting your sights on the realities of heaven. It talks about having a certain mindset, having a certain understanding that you are a nomad on earth, passing through time on your way to spending eternity with Jesus Christ and God the Father. And that's why I want to emphasize that, you know, that's what the scripture says. You know, because Christ, Jesus, is waiting for us there. He's preparing the place for each and every one of us sitting here. But he wants us to experience that eternity now already. He wants us to have an understanding that the realities that we face every day is not the realities that we should be facing, because our lives, the old lives, we've laid it down. But we must not focus on those things. We must take up a new attitude, take up a new spirit, and focus on the realities of heaven. The realities of heaven. We're living with confidence and the peace that Jesus Christ has set available for each and every one of us through the power of the cross. The last scripture, one of my favorites, and I used it in one of my last sermons as well, is Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Jesus, being our ultimate example, he understood that the circumstances that we face in this life, the circumstances that we face on a day-to-day basis is small and futile. I can't find it. There it is. Let me read it. And let us run the race, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eye on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. That piece right in the middle, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. And that's the ultimate place where we want to be, is knowing what awaits us. Knowing what awaits us. Knowing what awaits us. You need to have a revelation and an understanding that eternity starts now. It starts here and now. You have to have that attitude and understanding the same way Jesus did. Because it says there, because of the joy awaiting him. He knew what was going to happen after the cross. He had an understanding of what he himself and all of us that came after him would experience because of the cross. And the joy of that he would see all of us coming to that place of bowing the knee and saying, Lord Jesus, save me. That was what he saw. And that's what made him understand that the death on the cross was more than worth anything, because he could see having a relationship with Rian, with Fiona, with Lisa, with Melissa, with Vian, with everybody sitting here. Sorry for those that I didn't name, but I'm not going to go through the whole congregation. But you know, that's the power of this scripture. That's the power of that understanding. That's probably for me the ultimate example of defying circumstances, because you can see what is coming. You can see the promise. You understand the promise that God has given you. And that's what Jesus saw. And he was excited about it. He was excited about us. He knew that we were going to be sitting here tonight. And he knew that we will have a relationship with him. And when he realized that, he had joy. That's what it says there. Because of the joy awaiting him. He knew that he was going to have a joyful, intimate relationship with each and every one of you sitting here. And that's why he said, Father God, I will gladly endure the cross. How awesome is that? And that's what God wants us to experience. That is what God wants us to experience. Each and every one of you sitting here. That is what God wants you to experience. He doesn't want you to focus on tomorrow's 9 o'clock board meeting. He doesn't want you to focus on the meeting that you have with the parents from school, if you are a teacher, whatever the circumstances might be. He wants you to have an understanding that eternity starts right here. It starts today. It starts tonight. If it hasn't started in your life yet, it must start tonight. It must start tonight, because we have to have that understanding that we are nomads of the promise. Our time here is this much. For some it's that, for some it's a little bit less. But our time here is so short. We're just passing through. We are just passing through. And that's what nomads do. They come here, today there's water, tomorrow there's not, so they move on. They go to greener pastures, the season changes, they move on. And our lives are very, very similar. But ultimately, we hold on to a promise, a heavenly homeland that God is preparing for us. And the amazing thing of that is, if you look at the scriptures, it says that we will, I think it's in Colossians, the scripture in Colossians, it says that when Christ is revealed, when he comes back, we will share in his glory. We will share in God's glory. You know, if you think of, you know, when, it was a long time ago, the Springboks won the Rugby World Cup, for example, and they came back to Johannesburg and they were cruising around, you know, on this open-top bus, showing everybody the World Cup. You know, that's what it's going to be like. We're going to be parading with God. Glorious. We're going to be sharing in his glory. And it's not going to be a day. It's not going to be a bus trip. It's going to be for eternity. It's going to be for eternity. Does anybody have an idea how long eternity is? It never stops. So you're going to be a World Cup winner for eternity. You're going to be, if Vipia was here, a Masters champion for eternity. So tonight I want to challenge you. Ask God, if you haven't asked him before, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life so that eternity can start today. I tell you, you will never regret it, because you will live with a certain peace, with a certain confidence. Nothing will matter. Nothing will matter. Nothing's going to be too big. No circumstance, no trouble, no problem, nothing. Nothing whatsoever. So remember, we are nomads of the promise, and we are just passing through. Let's stand. Father God, we come before you tonight. And Lord, it's just such a privilege, Father God, to know who you are, Lord God, to know that you are passionate about us being here tonight. And you desire, Lord, intimacy with us, with each and every one of us that's seated here tonight, Lord God. And Lord, some of us have responded, and Lord, some of us still need to respond. But Lord, you know who we are. Lord, you know exactly where we find ourselves. But I thank you, Father God, that we are nomads, Lord, on earth. Lord, we are just passing through, Father God, and the time that we have here is so short, Lord. But some days feel so long because of disappointments, because of things that go wrong, sometimes because of things that go right, and the course of our lives changed, Lord, forever because we didn't see that it was a setup of the devil, Lord. And Lord, tonight we come, Father God, and we just want to thank you, Lord, that you are actively involved in our lives. That you are a living God that speaks to us, that desires relationship with us, that wants to hear our voice in the morning. When we wake up first thing and when we go to bed. Thank you, Father, that we know that from experience, Lord God, that you are a living God. I thank you, Father, that we can go into this week and into the rest of this month, Lord God, knowing that the confidence of Jesus Christ in our lives goes with us. Thank you, Lord, that we can know, Lord, that for most of us, Lord God, eternity has already started in our hearts, Lord. And we laugh, Lord, at the circumstances because we know that our God is greater than any circumstance. Our God is stronger than any CEO or any director that wants to come and tell us about what we should do and how we should live. I thank you, Father, that you are actively involved, Lord, in our lives, Lord. And we come tonight and we thank you. We thank you for the power of the cross of Jesus Christ in our lives. And like Pastor Yanni said this morning, Father God, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer, and He lives. And as your word says, Father God, Jesus Christ is seated with you in heaven where He is preparing for us, a heavenly homeland. And I pray, Lord God, that tonight, Lord, that you will burn it into our hearts, Lord, like you did with the family of Abraham, Father, where they had a yearning and an attitude of aspiring, Father God, something more, Lord, something greater, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will live with that same yearning, Lord, with that same yearning, Lord, to be seated with you in heaven. I thank you, Father God, that the place that you go to prepare for us, Lord, is glorious and perfect. I pray, Lord God, that you will come and reveal to us in dreams and visions, Lord, and show us, Lord, what we are aspiring to, and come and excite us, Lord. But, Lord, that we will live with that excitement here and now, with the expectation and the anticipation of the glory that awaits us when Jesus comes. I pray, Father God, that tonight, Lord, when we leave this place, that we will know that we are nomads of the promise. Not a promise, but the promise. And Lord, that we will keep on aspiring and yearning, Lord, till that day when you come and you take us with us, with you, to our heavenly homeland. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week.